Masechet Ksubos, Daf Yud Tes, 6 lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa. In our Mishnah we learned yesterday, we continue with the concept of HaPesha Oso, Hu HaPesha Hiter. And the Mishnah stated that Edim Sha'armu, Ksav Yedenu Uzeh, Aval HaNusim Yinu, Ketanam Yinu, Psul Edis Yinu, Harei Eilu Nemanim, based on the fact that they were Mekayim, their own signatures, therefore they have a Pesha Oso, Hu HaPesha Hiter, and therefore they are also Nemet to say that this Shtar is not a valid Shtar, as long as they don't say a Taino that is Mesim Atzmim Rishayim, as Rabbi Bachama taught us yesterday. And our Gemara now continues with the Braisa. We will see that Rameya actually argues on the Mishnah, and the Braisa states, and in one of the places of Rameya, then in the same case of our Mishnah, where the Edom were the ones that came along and they certify that these are their actual signatures, that they do not have Nemanis to say afterwards that we are Nusim, Ktanim, or Psule Edis. However, Chacham say, as we said in our Mishnah, that they would be Neman because there's a Pesha Asu, Ha Pesha Eter. And the Gemara continues and explains this machlekes, and the Gemara states, Bishlam l'Rabbanan, it makes sense according to Rabbanan that the Edom would be Neman, ki tamayu shapesha asu ha-pesha hiter, based on the standard din that we've had for the last few block, that there's a concept of pesha asu ha-pesha hiter, and since the only way that we know that this shtar is a valid shtar is because the Edom testified that these are their signatures, so then these Edom have Neman to say that we were nusim ha-yinu machmas nefashas, that our lives were threatened, and that's why we signed this document where this testimony doesn't cause them to become. And as we mentioned yesterday, and Rashi states over here, that by the case where the Edom said that we were Psula Edis, that's also not a problem of Edom the Mesim Atzmim Rasha, because we're talking about a case where they said that at one point we were Kravim, or at that point when we signed we are Avadim, but now we're Meshucharim, and therefore they're not making themselves into Psulim at this moment, and that's why Lefi Rabbanan we have a Pesha Asa who are Pesha Hiter, and these Edom would be believed. And the Gemara now is, El Rameya my time, what Pshan Rameya that he says that these Edom would not be believed, L'chayrit is a valid Pesha us over here, since they were the ones that were Mekayim their own signatures. And the Gemara responds and explains, Bishlam the Psula Edis, we understand by the case where the Edom said that we were Psula Edis, and as Rashi points out, that when the Edom say that we were Psula Edis, or they say that we were Ktanim, they actually say that we know that there was a real Hava over here, or we know there was a real Mekach over here, however, don't think that it's a valid Shtar, and therefore it was a Milvav Shtar, or it was a Mekach that the Kinyan was done through this Shtar, that didn't actually occur, because we were Psula Edis at that point, or we were Ktanim, and these Edom actually agree that there was a valid transaction that occurred over here, there was a Milvav Peh, and there was a Kinyan over here, and therefore in this type of case, Rameya says that they would not be Neman, as the Gemara explains, because Mal V'Gufei Meikar Medik Daik U'Mechtam, there's a Chazaka that the Edom are not telling the truth, and they weren't puzzled at that point, and they weren't Kravim, because the lender would have checked them out beforehand to verify that they are Ksherim, since the Malva understands that if he had Edom that were puzzled, then the Shtar would not be a valid shtar, and it could cause him a major loss. And since we have a chazaka that these Edom were kasha, so therefore the Edom themselves, even if they have a pesha asa, cannot taina that they were pasul edos at the point that they signed the shtar. And the Gemara continues that we also understand why Rameya would say that if the Edom taina they were ktanim at the time that they signed the shtar, they would also not be neman because ktanim nami kiri shlokish tamri shlokish. And we turned up your testimony chazaka in the Edom chayis mal shtar elam kein nasi begadol. Just like Rish Lakish says that if there's a case where there's Edom that are signing on a Shtar Mekach, that we have a Chazaka that the Edom would not assign their signature unless they knew that the Lekech and the Mecha are both Gdolim, so therefore there's also Chazaka that a Malva would not allow Edom to sign on a Shtar unless he knew that they were Gdolim. And really, as Taisus points out, at the bottom of Yechesam Beis, having Matzal Memo, Ktanim Nami, Mishim, the Malva Gufa, made it Dayak, El Dinich Le Leminka Bechocha, Taimachrina. So Taisus says, we want to give another Pshat, Bidigay Ktanim, but in the Chanami, the first Pshat that we said, Bidigay Psula Edis, would apply back Tanim as well, and then it says Inami Taim Reish Lakish Guf Inami Mishum Nemalva Meidik Daik. And actually, the Pshat in Reish Lakish that he says that we know that these are not Ketanim is based on the Svara that the Malva is Meidik Daik. And according to this Pshat, Taisus points out that Ein Chanami, even in the first Teret that we said by Psula Edis, really we could have said over there Kid Reish Lakish. However, we didn't mention it because Reish Lakish only mentions Ketanim and he didn't talk about Psula Edis. Ein Chanami Lefi, the second Teret of Taisus, it comes out that both Tzurim of the Gemara are exactly the same. And as Taisus points out at the top of your testament Aleph, it comes out that the actual machlekes between Rameya and the Chum is Rameya holds that we don't say a Pesha Asif or Pesha Itaya b'makim chazaka. However, Rabbanan say that even though there is a chazaka, however, we still say that the Edom's Pesha Asif or Pesha Itaya is stronger than the chazaka. And the Gemara now continues to discuss the case of Anusim according to Rameya, that why is it Rameya says that if the Edom come and they were actually ones that verified and certified their signature, that they do not have nemanis to say Anusim or Rabbeinu Machmas Nefashis, L'chayr, it should be a Pesha Asa. And as the Gemara says, Anus in my time, what's Pshad Rameya? So Rav Chista explains, Kasav Rameya actually holds that even if Edom claimed that Anus in Mayinu Machmas Nefashis, that they were forced by threat of life, that they would not be believed because there would still be a problem of Enid Ramesim Atzmi Rasha, because even if a person signs on a document and he was forced by threat of life, it is still something that's a double Meguna, and therefore we would have the cloud that Enid Ramesim Atzmi Rasha, and therefore he's not believed. And as Rav Chista explains, because Rameya holds Edom Sha'amulham Chismu Sheka Ba'al Tahagu, even if Edom are threatened by threat of life that they should sign falsely, Yeharagu Va'al Yechdu Mesheka, they should rather be killed than sign falsely. And the Rishonim explained that, of course, there's no question that the only Gimel Chamur is that the din is Yag Val Yava, but it means over here that it should be so terrible for Edom to sign falsely that they won't sign falsely even by threat of life, and if they do so, that's considered Dav Meguna, and Edom aren't believed to say that they did something which was a Dva Meguna. The Gemara continues and asks, Amalei Ravas, and Ravas says back to Rav Chista, Hashti Idu Asla Kamalam Luche, Aminu Hu, Zilu Chasum of Loises Katon. We know that if the Edom would come in front of us to ask a Shaila and say that we were threatened by threat of life and that we want to go and sign the Shtar, Bezdin would certainly say to them that of course there's no Din of Yar Val Yava, and Bezdin would paskin for them that they could execute such a Shtar. The Amamar, because we learned, Ein Lechadav Sha'im B'Fle Pikuach Nefesh, there's nothing that stands in front of Pikuach Nefesh, El Avedis Kechavim, Gila Reis, Shvichas Dam Bavad, aside from the big three, Avedis Zara, Gila Reis, and Shvichas Damim, and only over there do we say that Yar Val Yava, but in any other case, there's no Din of Yar Val Yava, and therefore Bezdin would have paskin for them that they could execute such a Shtar. And therefore, the Gemara says, you can't tell me that this is a din of Einar Demesim Atzmi Rasha, or that they can't do something which is a Dvar Meguna, and therefore they're not Neman, because Hashtu the Chasmu, now that they did sign, Aminul Hu, Amaychas Misu, who doesn't tell them, why did you sign? Of course, there's no Taina on them, and therefore, of course, they should have Nemanis. So we're back to the original question as to what is Pshat in Rameya that he says that if Edom say that this is our signature, and they verify their signatures, that the din is that we don't say Pesha Asahu, Pesha Eter, and they're not believed to say Anisimayino, Machbis the Fashis. The Gemara continues and says, El Time Rameya, Rav Huna Am Rav, that really the reason for Rameya, they said that they're not Neman, is just like Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, the Am Rav Huna Am Rav, Moida B'Shasha Kasvu, Ain't Tzarech L'Kaimai, that if a Loiva comes to Bezdin, and he says that I'm Moida, that this is a Shtar, and I had it written, and I had Edom that signed it, so the din is that even if the Malva doesn't verify the signatures of the Edom, still the Loiva would not be able to Taina that I have a Pesha Asu, a Pesha Hitter, and really I paid back this loan. And Rashi explains that since the Loiva says that this Shtar is Kasha, and since the Shtar is still in the hands of the Malva, and as the Tosfos Rid says, that he says, Shtar Chabiyadi my boy, why would the Shtar be in my hands if you already paid it back? And therefore, since the Loiva already was Moida, that this Shtar is a valid Shtar, he has no Nemanis to say that I already paid back this Chayiv. And when Rameya said in the Braisa that Edom would not have Nemanis to say, Anusim Ayinu, Ktanam Ayinu, or Psula Edis Ayinu, he was Dafka talking about a situation where the Loiva already said that this Shtar was a valid Shtar, and the Edom were valid signatories. And Rameya holds that since Moida B'Shtar Shekasu, when a Loiva is Moida, that this Shtar was a valid Shtar, Ain't Tzarech L'Kaimai, then the Malva doesn't have to be Mekayim these signatories, and he doesn't have to certify that these Edom actually signed. So then, of course, the Edom don't have a Pesha Asa, and the Edom are not believed to say Anusim Ayinu, Ktanam Ayinu, Epsula Edis Ayinu. And based on this, of course, the only machlekes between Rameya and Chachamim is specifically in a case where the Loiva was already Moida, that the Shtar is valid. So therefore, the Edom aren't the Pesha Asa, and there is no need to verify or certify their signatures. However, if there would be a case where the Malva and Loiva are fighting if the Shtar is a valid Shtar or not, and the Edom come and say that these are our signatures, and then they would taina Anusim Ayinu, Ktanam Ayinu, Epsula Edis Ayinu, even Rameya would agree to the Chachamim that of course we would say a Pesha Asa or a Pesha Yeter. And Taisus in Nibam Asal, Time Drab Shimon Drab Huna, he asked the Kashal Ri, the Imkain, if it's true that the Machlaikis of Rameya and Chachamim is based on the din of Rav Huna, the name of Rav, Lifugu Beloy Edom, Beloy Vegufe, then why wasn't the Machlaikis, without even having Edom over here, and just speak about the Loiva himself, Hoyo Tamayo Tali Beloyva, since the whole reason why there isn't a Manas, so there isn't any Pesha Asa or Pesha Yeter over here, and the Machlaikis between Rameya and Chachamim is not based on anything that has to do with the Edom, and the entire Machlaikis between Rameya and Chachamim is as to the status and to the strength of the Loiva himself. As Rameya holds like Rav Huna that Moida B'Shtar Shekasu Ein Tzarech L'Kaimai, and therefore even a Loiva doesn't have a Pesha Asa, and Chachamim argue on Rameya, and they hold Moida B'Shtar Shekasu Tzarech L'Kaimai, and therefore every Loiva does have a Pesha Asa. And of course we would be able to figure out from that that by extension the Machlaikis between Rameya and Chachamim would be if these Edom would have Nemanis or not, Ayin and Taisus. And the Gemara continues, we just said that Rav Huna Amar Rav is really the same Shita as Rameya. So the Gemara asks, Gufa, Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Moida B'Shtar Shekasu Ein tzorch l'kaimai. We just said Rav Huna said in the name of Rav that if a loiva is moida that he wrote the shtar and the edim sign, then you don't need any kiyum hashtar, and the loiva doesn't have a pashasa. So amalei Rav Nachman gnuve gnuve lamalcha. Why do you go and make believe that this shita was your own shita and you didn't say this shita over in the name of Rameya? It seems that the reason why you did it is because you didn't want anyone to realize that you're going like a das yachid, because generally we would paskin yachid rabim halacha karabim, and he's spiru l'cha karameya. If you really held like Rameya, im halach karameya, why don't you just be honest and say that I hold like Rameya? Or Malay, Rav Huna said, umar hechi spirulei l'maisa, what do you actually hold? Do you hold that the halacha follows Rameya, or does the halacha follow Rabbanan? And on Malay, Rav Nachman responded that I really hold like Rabbanan, and ki asal kamon ledina, if a malva comes in front of me for a din Torah and asks what they should do with their shtar, I tell them, zilu kaim shtareichu, make sure you go and you mekayim your shtar, the chayis ledina, and this way you'll be able to win when it comes down to the fact that there will be a din Torah. Because otherwise, if the loiva comes to Bezin and he says that this shtar is actually a valid shtar, and the loiva is mekayim the shtar, we would still need a kiyum of the edim, because otherwise the loiva would be able to taina that although it is a valid shtar, but I paid up this chayiv, and since I hold like the rabbanon that moed b'shtar shekasu tzarich l'kaimai, therefore the loiva would have a pesha also, who have pesha yeter, and the loiva would be believed. But now that you're going to go and be mekayim the shtar, and you'll make sure that the edim come and validate their signatures, so we won't have a pesha asa on any loiva that comes, and the loiva would not be nema to say parative. And prior to starting the next Gemara, let us define three terms. Number one, a shtar mana is a shtar that is written by the loiva and given to the malva in escrow, trusting that although the loiva didn't yet borrow any money yet, the malva won't use it for collection until such time that the loiva actually borrows money from the malva. Number two, a shtar pasim is where a loiva wants to look like he is successful, so he writes a loan document and gives it to the malva in order that people should think that he is creditworthy, but he never took out a loan and never intended to take a loan from the malva. Number three, there's a concept of meidah. If Reuven is being coerced to sell a property, he can go to Eidim prior to them executing the deed or the shtar mecha and notify them that he's being coerced, and this can be done either in a shtar meidah or verbally. And the Gemara now states, Amar Behuda Marav, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Ha'im shtar mana hu zeh einin emon, that if someone says that this was a shtar mana, it was a shtar that was written on trust and was given to the malva, then he's not believed to state that. The Gemara asked, the Ka'am Aman, what are we referring to and who said this? Ilema de Ka'am Aloiva, if the loiva was the one that said that this shtar is a shtar mana, so pshita kol kamine, of course he's not going to be believed. And as Rashi says, v'aloy edim chasuin by lemaisa, edim already signed in this document, so pshita the iskayim b'chisamav, so it will be pashitas that as long as the malva will be able to verify and certify that these are the signatures of the witnesses, then of course the loiva would not be neman. And the Gemara continues, v'elo dekama malva, if you're going to tell me that the malva was the one that said it's a shtar mana, so why would he not believe? The opposite is true, tavi ala bracha, he should have a bracha because he was truthful and he was honest and he said this shtar is actually a shtar mana and it's not a valid shtar. And the Gemara continues, all the kamri edim, and if you can tell me that the edim were the ones that said that this is a shtar mana, so edik sav yadim yetzim makam acha, if their signatures were already certified and verified through some other means, so pshita deloy mehemni, of course they're not going to be believed because it would be a case of kivin shehagut shuvin in chayzo magid, and be edik sav yadim yetzim makam acha, if it's a case where the signatures of the witnesses were not verified from other means, but it was verified by themselves, so then why would they not be believed? We have a pesha asu, we have a pesha yeter. And the Gemara now continues and brings us three terutzim, Simon Ba'ash, referring to Rava, Abaya, and Ravashi. So Rava first states, we're talking about a case over here where the loiva was the one that says that it's a shtar mana, and we're also talking about a case where the edim were not verified, aside from the fact that the loiva said that this is a valid shtar, but it's a shtar mana. So you would think that there would be a pesha asu, a pesha yeter. However, Rav Huna, it's going like the Shita Rav Huna, the Amr Rav Huna, Amr Rav, because Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, and over here it's also Rav, because we said Amr Rav Yehuda, Amr Rav, that Maida B'Shtash, a Kasvu, ain't Tzarech L'Kaimai, that if the Loiva is actually Maida, that this Shtar is a valid Shtar, and the witnesses were valid witnesses, just he said Parativ in that case, then you don't have to be Mekayim, the signatures of the witnesses, and we would not have a Pesha Asu, Pesha Yeter. And although before we said that the Peshan Rav Huna is that there was a Chesaron in the fact that the Malva actually is holding on to the Shtar, which seems to show that the shtar was not paid off. But over here, he's saying the reason why the malva has it was because it's a shtar mana. So l'chayr, maybe you have an amanus. On that, Rashi explains, the ein neman loiva l'paisloi. The loiva does not have an amanus to pass the shtar. Loi ovet inish the kasev u'masa b'loi avar. Since it's not normal to make a shtar mana, therefore, the loiva does not have a valid pesha asa or pesha hita over here. Since number one, we don't have to verify the signatures of these witnesses. And number two, it's not normal to actually have a shtar Rabbana. And the Gemara continues, Abaya Amar Abaya states, Lo Ilam Da Amar Malva, really Rabbi Huda Amar Rav, that said that the din is that if someone says that Shtar Amana is not believed, that's going when the Malva himself said that it's a Shtar Amana. And even though we said before, the Lachay, if the Malva said it, then of course he should be believed and Tavir La Bracha. However, the case over here is where it's going to be a detriment to someone else. Uch Rab Nassan, just like we have the din of Shibud Rab Nassan. The Tanya, as we learned in the Brisa, Rab Nassan, Imam, Menayan Lunashi Bechaveir Mana, Bechaveir Bechaveir, Menayan Shemetzim Zav and Nasal Zav, Tamalim of Nassan Lasher, Oshom Loi. As we know, the famous din of Rab Nassan, Rab Nassan states that how do we know that if Reuven lends money to Shimon, and Shimon then lends money to Levi, that if Shimon doesn't repay Reuven, Reuven could go and demand payment and collect from Levi? And we learned this din, since the Pasuk should have said that you have to pay back to the one you borrowed from, and the Pasuk states instead, you have to pay to the one you are responsible to. So we see that the one you're paying to is not necessarily the same person that you borrowed from, and therefore Behuda teaches us in the name of Rav that Shimon can't claim that this note to Levi was only a shtar mana, as in this scenario he is causing a detriment to Reuven, since if we believe Shimon that Levi doesn't owe him any money, at this point Reuven won't be able to collect the debt that Shimon owes him from Levi, and therefore Shimon won't be believed. And the Gemara continues with the third pshat in this memra of Rabbi Hudam Rav. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi states, Lo Ilam Dekam Re'edim, really Rabbi Hudam Rav is talking about a case where Edim come to Bezdin and say that this is a shtar mana, and it's also talking about a case of the Ein Ksav Yadim Yotzei Makom Acha, that there's no verifiable way to figure out that these are the signatures of these witnesses aside from through the testimony of the witnesses themselves, and therefore really there should be a Pesha Asu HaPesha Yeter, and they should be believed to say that it's a shtar mana. However, as the Gemara will explain in a moment, that this Edus that they're saying that this is a shtar mana is actually saying something which is derogatory about themselves, and as we learned before, even where there's a Pesha Asu HaPesha Yeter, you're not believed with the Taina that's Mesim Atzmei Rasha and Kid Rav Kana. And why is this considered a rishus? Because of the din that Rav Kana taught us. The Omer Rav Kana, because Rav Kana taught us, Asalei L'Adam Shisha Shtar Mana B'Tech Pesai Mishum Shenema Al Tashkin Ba'Olecha Avlo, that it's also for a person to keep a Shtar Mana in their house, because the Pasuk says that you shouldn't keep in your house something that could come out a problem. And over here, if you keep a Shtar Mana in your house, you might eventually forget that it actually was a Shtar Mana, and you may want to go and collect from the Leiva, even though you never really lent him money, or the Yetzer Hara will actually be too strong, and you will go against the trust, and you'll improperly collect from the Leiva. And we continue on Daf Yutes on Beis, Amar Rav Sheshes, Brei Rav Idi, Shema Minar, Rav Kana, we see from Rav Kana, Edim Shomra, Amana Hoi Davreinu, if Edim say that this Shtar was only a Mana, even if you have a Pesha Asa, Ein Nemanim, they're not Nemanim, Mai Taima, and what is the reason that they're not believed if they have a Pesha Asa? And the Gemara explains, Kivin Da Avluhu, since it's actually something which is improper, Avluhi Chasmu, then Edim would not sign on something which is improper, and if they say that they did, then of course we don't believe them because Ein Lamesim Atzmai Rasha. And the Gemara continues that although Rav Kana learned from the pasuk of Al Tashkin Ba'alecha Avla that it's Asaloi La'Adm Shishtar Shah Mona B'Tech Beisai, however, Amr Rabbi Shuva Levi, Rabbi Shuva Levi states, Asaloi La'Adm Shishtar Shah Peru B'Tech Beisai, that from this pasuk and Eir of Al Tashkin Ba'alecha Avla, we learn out that a lender cannot keep a note that was already paid off within his house. And the Gemara continues, B'Marav Mishmedu Rav Amri, in the West, they said over the name of Rav that they used the beginning of this pasuk and Eir that says, Im Oven Biyotcha Hachikeu Zeshtar Mona V'Shtar Pasim, that it's referring to a shtar that was given over in trust, and the shtar pasim that we mentioned before, that people used to have these shtaris that were made in order to show that they were credit worthy. Valtashkin Ba'alecha Avla, and from the pasuk Valtashkin Ba'alecha Avla, Zeshtar Perua, that's referring to a shtar that was already paid off, that a lender should not keep such a shtar in their home. And the Gemara now goes back to the machlekes between Rav Kahana and Rabbi Shuva Levi, Manda Om Shtar Perua Koshkin Shtar Mana, according to Rabbi Shuva Levi that said that this pasuk comes to tell you that a loiva can't keep a shtar perua in their house, so certainly you can't keep a shtar mana that never really was a valid shtar. However, Manda Om Shtar Mana Av Shtar Perua Loi, but according to Rav Kahana that said you're not allowed to keep a shtar mana in your home, but however, a shtar perua you can't keep in your home. And the reason why a lender can keep a shtar perua in their home is the Zimna de Mashulei Apshita de Safra. And Tosis explains that we know that a loiva is generally responsible to pay the cipher's fee to write a shtar or the attorney fees. And if there was a scenario that at the time of Avod, the loiva didn't have the money to pay the attorney fee, then the Malva would lay it out for him. And let's say there was a scenario where the loiva owed $100 to the Malva, and in addition, since the lender laid out the money to the cipher, and he lent out, let's say, $10 to the cipher, so then at the time that the borrower pays back the loan, he really is responsible to pay back the additional $10 in order to reimburse him for the cipher fees. However, if the loiva at that point did not have enough money to pay him back, so the Malva would keep the shtar in his home, and this would be his collateral in order for the lender to be able to get back and be reimbursed for the $10 that he laid out for the cost of the cipher. And Tysus points out that all agree that you're allowed to keep a shtar perua for collateral until the time that you get paid back
for the reimbursement of the Sefer's fees. However, of course, once you pay back the Sefer's fees, you really shouldn't have the Shtar in your house. However, Rav Kahana says that you can't say that that's a taina on a person, because once he kept it in his house as collateral, it could be that he'll forget to get rid of it at that point, since that is not exact time that he's getting paid back for the loan. And in that scenario, Rav Kahana feels that the pasuk of Al Tishkum Balecha Avla does not apply to the lender in this scenario. However, Rabbi Shua Balevi argues and says that even in this scenario, the lender should make sure not to have such a shtar in his home, and this pasuk of Al Tishkum Balecha Avla applies to such a lender as well. And Ayin in the Top Taisei points out that when we said B'merav Mishmedu Rav Amri Im Abim Biyotcha Chiku, that's referring to a shtar mon and shtar pasim. However, when it says Al Tishkum Balecha Avla, it's referring to a shtar prua. So Taisei says because the lashon of oven is referring to types of documents that were never valid documents, and they were always sheker, like a shtar mona and shtar pasim. And when the end of the pasuk says a lashon of avla, that's referring to a shtar that originally was a valid shtar. It was actually a valid note, and then afterwards, since you paid it, you have no right to keep it in your home, because potentially you'll come to recollect with that same shtar. And that's why we said that's referring to a shtar perua, ayin and taisis. And the Gemara continues, itmar we learned, sefer she'ein amuga, if there's a sefer of Torah Nevi'im uksuvim that has extra or missing letters and needs to be fixed, that until 30 days you're allowed to leave it around your house, and you don't have to do it right away, you have some time, but once you pass 30 days, you're not allowed to keep it in your home, and the reason is, mishum shenema atashkan balecha avla. And the Gemara continues, Gamliel states, if Edom come to Bezin and say that these are actually our signatures, and therefore would seem that they have a pesha asu a pesha eter, they still have no right to say amano hayu devreinu, because as we said before from Rav Kahana, that by saying that they created a shtar mana, that is a testimony that they were mesim atzmei rasha, and therefore they have no nemanis. And Rashi points out that don't be bothered that l'chayra, if they're saying amana hayu devreinu, that this was a shtar mana, l'chayra, that is a major problem, because if you write a shtar with a date that was predated, of course that's a shtar muktam, and it's a major problem, because then a potential lender will be able to collect from the Lukuchais, even from an earlier date, and therefore such a shtar should not be able to be used at all. However, Rashi says that the scenario is where Reuven says to Shimon that I'm writing a shtar mana and I'm making sure that we have the shtar available, and I want the actual shibud to start from this moment, even though I didn't get my money yet. And in that case, that shibud would be a valid shibud. And even so, Zokram Nachman, that these Edom do not have nemanis because Ein Adam Mesim Atzmei Rasha. And Rav Gamliel continues, even if the Edom are the ones that certify their own signatures, and therefore l'chayr there should be a pesha aso hu a pesha eter, they still would not be nemanim to say that before we signed on the shtar, the meicha notified us that he's selling under duress. And Rashi explains that although over here, of course, there's no problem of ein ad mesim atzmei rasha because they didn't do anything wrong. However, Rashi explains like asi alper umar le l'shtar, that since we have a shtar that seems to say that it was a valid mecha, so that you can't come with a verbal testimony and now say that original testimony that's in the shtar was not a really valid shtar, because we have a din of kumin shegut shuvein and chayzer magid. And keep in mind, of course, that the only reason that this doesn't work is because the edom are testifying that this was done verbally. However, if they actually bring a shtar that was written simultaneous with the original mecha, and the document says clearly that the mecha gave them maida that he was selling under duress, then of course that shtar would be valid and it would override the shtar mecha. However, Mar Bar Avashi argues on Rav Nachman, and Mar Bar Avashi omar amanu hoy devreinu ein amanim. While I agree that you can't say amanu hoy devreinu because ein ad mesim atzmei rasha, but if the edom say maida hoyu devreinu, that it was a maida that was given to us and it was a verbal maida, that it would be neman. And the Gemara explains, my time, what's the reason? By maida, of course, it was able to even be written because there's no problem with ein ad mesim atzmei rasha, so therefore they have neman to say it was done verbally. However, by the case of amanu hoyu devreinu, since it's not something that should be written in the shtar, because of course it's not even proper to write a shtar amana, and therefore the klal of ein ad mesim atzmei rasha applies and they don't have nemanis. And the Gemara continues, Rava asked the following from Rav Nachman, that since you just said that if Edom say amana hoy devreinu in amanim, and if you say maida hoy devreinu, you're also not neman. So Rava asked, tanai hoy devreinu mau, let's say that Edom are the ones that verified their own signatures, and they now say that although we actually signed this document, however at that time there was a verbal tanai that was necessary in order to be mekayim this mecha, and the question is, would we believe the Edom or not? And the Gemara explains the shayla, maida v'amana hayu taima dechakur le'shtura, the reason why Rav Nachman said that you not believe to say this is a shtar mono or shtar meida is because you're being oikid the shtar, and as Rashi says, v'loy osi alper umar l'shtara kiven shehigid shuvein echayzo magid v'haynami ka'okal l'shtara. And over here also, when you're saying that there was a valid shtar, just that there was an outside tanai, l'chari you're also being oikid the shtar and kiven shehigid shuvein echayzo magid oiduma tanai milsachriti, or do you say that tnai is an external factor, has nothing to do with the validity of the shtar. And as Rashi says, the moedim heim shashtar emes, because the witnesses are testifying that this shtar is definitely emes. Elo shetnai hayu b'neim. However, there was an external tnai between the moicher and the loikech. Vizu edus acheres, and this is a separate edus. V'shtar memele miyakel lachizman b'yom shloikayim tnai bezmanai. And really, this shtar is a perfectly valid shtar up until the point that the tnai wasn't kayim, and at that point, it causes that the shtar will no longer have any effect. And the Gemara continues, Amalei Rav Nachman says back to Rava, ki osel kamon l'dina, if a lekech would come in front of me for a din Torah, Armin lehu, I would tell them, zilu kaimayu tanaychu v'chais l'dina, make sure to be mekayim your tnai, because we do believe the edim that there was a tnai, and therefore make sure to be mekayim tnai in order to make sure that this mechah would be a valid mechah. And the Gemara continues and says that since we just said the fear of Nachman, that if edim come and verify the signatures, and they say that we have a pesha osu or a pesha hiter, and therefore we are nemen to say that there was a valid external tnai. So the Gemara now is edom a tnai, ve'edom a in a tnai. What would be the din if both of the edom came and verified that these are the signatures? However, one aid said that there was an external tnai, and one of the edom said that I don't know if there was an external tnai or not. So Amar Papa Tavayu b'shtarim al yakom sadi lemaisa. Both of these edom already verified their signatures and said that it was a valid shtar. Behind the comment tnai have lechad ve'in dvar shel echav b'makom shtayim. And even though one of the edom are testifying that there was an external verbal tnai, there is no validity to what he says. And as Rashi says, ve'in anemon lakishtar, and this one aid doesn't have the manas to be able to be oikad shtar shneim chasum by, because you already had two aidim that signed on the shtar that said it is a valid shtar. And the Gemara continues, mask of Lord of Huna Breder of Yeshua, of Huna Breder of Yeshua, Eastern our Papa, Ihachi Afil Tabayo Nami. If you're telling me that when one aid says a testimony, it's as if it's Kivan Shekin Shuv and Echazam Magid, and it's considered a completely separate Haggadah, then Lechira, even if you had both of the aidim that said that these are our signatures, however, there was an external tnai, they should also not be in them on, because Lechira, we have a cloud of Kivan Shekin Shuv and Echazam Magid. And of course, we know that Rav Nachman said before that if the aidim come and say that there was a tnai, then we do believe the aidim, and you would have to keep the tnai. And if so, what is the pshat in Rav Nachman? And the Gemara therefore explains, El Arminon, it must be that we say, Hani Lamekas Adusok Hasi. And as Rashi explains, El Akochok Lav Chasim Mukuyamasu, it must be that we don't consider that their signatures were validated. And the reason is, the Kivan the Teichri Diba Maski de Burayo, that since within Teichri Diba, they finished off their words, but Arminon said, Avot Tnai Hoy Beinayim, that there was an external tnai, Arminon Han Lamekas Adusok, they're really being like their original testimony, and they're saying that really we didn't sign unless there was a kiyum of this tnai. They keep it to time milsachriti she'ina krasay el achizman loydami lemeidav v'amana umehemne the edus b'pnei atzmi. This is considered a separate testimony, and therefore there is them onus. And hainami also in the case where one aid said that this is my signature and b'techti diba, he clarified that the only way that I signed was only based on the fact that there was an external tnai, so we would also believe him, and therefore we have to look at the shtar as if there's only one aid that signed on the shtar and saying that there is no tnai and there is no external tnai involved with the shtar, because one aid actually said that this shtar is actually signed, but my signature is only valid once there is a kiyum hatnai. And the Gemara ends off, the halacha of Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua, the halacha follows Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua, and even in the case where edom a tnai ve'edom a in a tnai, the din is that the only way that this shtar would be a valid shtar and we could use the shtar to prove that there was a mecha is only if there was a kiyum hatnai, and we will stop over here.